Picking up again here in John, we're in chapter 8. Our text tonight is verses 42 to 47. I'm going to begin reading at verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to him, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of the work Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. And this is not what Abraham did. You're doing the works your father did. And they said to him, we're not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Well, Jesus is often portrayed in writings and even in video attempts and things like that as so passive and so gentle, only ever saying super nice things to people, that he's not thought of as being a judge or calling people to account for the things that they've done. If you actually read the Gospels, you'll find that he's quite direct in what he says. When he's resisted, more often than not, he turns up the heat and you know, puts pressure on those who are resisting. Now, this disputation here in John 8 is a case in point, and tonight's text in particular is a good illustration of it. I'm not sure that those who believe that he never ruffled a feather would not get their feathers ruffled by tonight's text. But he continues his challenge to his detractors. It's been going on for some time. We're up to the verses in the 40s. So this is a long chapter, and it's been this dispute going back and forth. So verse 42, Jesus tells him, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear my word. Well, what he says makes perfect sense. If they loved God, they would indeed love the Son, who is God in the flesh. He came from God and was sent by him. He's in perfect union with his Father. All that he says he received from the Father. So to claim love for God but reject the Son makes no sense at all. Now we have an opposite idea floating around these days of supposedly loving Jesus but hating the Father, you know, that nasty Old Testament God kind of thing. That doesn't work either. As a matter of fact, those who hold to this do not genuinely understand either Jesus or the Father. The folks he's talking to here in Matthew, or in John 8, he was dealing with a long history of a nation who rejected God's word, rejected God himself. They, for centuries, turned to other gods, the idols of the nations around them. Now, this year, I'm reading one of those chronological one-year Bibles. You have daily readings, you get through the whole Bible in a year, and it's all chronological, at least as best as the editor can do it. And a little while back, it went on for several weeks. I was in the end of 2 Kings, the end of 2 Chronicles, readings in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Lamentations. It gets pretty low and pretty dark if that's all that you're reading. The rebellion of Judah had culminated in the attack of the Babylonians and the exile, and God was carrying out his promised response to their sin. God's judgment descended on both the northern and southern kingdoms. Why? Because they rejected God and did not regard his word that came to them through the prophets. Now, here in John 8, the very Son of God, I mean, they had rejected all the prophets. Now it's the Son of God declaring the truth of God, and they still reject his message and him as Messiah. So it's nothing new. They demonstrated that they're not of God, as their ancestor had done repeatedly. Jesus stresses that he's not here to do his own thing. No, he was sent by God, the Father, the very deity they claim as their God, to do his will and bring a message of truth. Well, he raises the question, why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. Their hearts were so turned away from the truth, and they were hardened toward it. They can't bear to hear it. We see this sort of thing in our day politically. You know, there are some who can't stand to listen to Trump. There are others who can't stand to listen to Biden, and probably numerous others also. They can't bear to hear their words. It's one thing to reject a politician, but it's drastically another to reject God and his word. But this is what we see continually by the movers and shakers here in pop culture today. There's no room for God and his word. And when we or others declare God's truth, the reaction can so often be ridicule or hostility. The cancel culture that we have makes this very plain. Say the wrong thing in the opinions of those in charge, and they close you down, close your account, make it very difficult for you to be heard. Our culture is very much like these folks in Jesus' day. They rejected him and what he stood for. Anger and hatred toward him gushed out from them. Their desire to get rid of him was becoming more and more apparent. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, when I was at Nasquith Church up in Parkville, they were still part of the Presbyterian Church USA at that time. And the hostility toward those who stood for the truth was quite apparent. Tom Graham, the pastor I worked with up there, was a faithful defender of the truth. At Presbytery meetings, he would rarely be recognized to speak. They would just look past. He could have his hand up, he could stand up, and they just wouldn't call on him. If he was recognized, as he began to speak, you could see around the room, these are elders and ministers at a presbytery meeting. He begins to speak, and they're going like this, or just looking down or something. Now, he was a magnificent speaker. It wasn't that he was going to be boring. No, they just did not want to hear what he had to say. Or another time, a group of conservative women gathered and met in a room off one of the main halls to pray. One of the main issues on the docket that day was an overture to require each church having two women elders, and they wanted to pray. They thought that was not right, but they were literally mocked by pastors and elders of that church. So there were even those among the leadership of that denomination who did not believe. They rejected the word of Christ and did not want to hear it. Well, Jesus comes right out and lays it on the line. He declares the truth in no uncertain terms. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer. He has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. So God was not their father. They rejected him by rejecting his son. They were in the same line as the vast multitudes who had rejected Yahweh down through the years. They rejected God's word. They rejected and killed his prophets. Now they're desiring to kill his son. Wasn't that what Jesus talked about in Matthew 21? Interestingly, this was our gospel reading this morning, but from from Luke rather than from Matthew. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of the house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it, and dug a wine press, and built a tower, and leased it to his tenants, and went into another country. Then the season for fruit drew near, and he sent servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will we do to those tenants?" And they said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their season." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." So the rejection of Jesus himself was known, obviously, by Jesus himself, as just as the prophets had been rejected. Obviously, they were not of God. Rather, he says they belong to the devil, and they did his work. There's a family resemblance. We as believers ought to resemble our Father in heaven, and those who reject him are merely showing to whom they belong. Merrill Tenney, in his commentary, said this: "The people might have been confused as to why they did not love Jesus, if he was indeed sent from the Father. Jesus spoke to that point with a rhetorical question: 'Why is my language not clear to you?' The word 'clear' really means to know. In essence, Jesus was asking, 'Why don't you know what I'm saying?' Then he gave the answer: 'You're unable to hear what I say.' The word 'unable' speaks of an inherent inability. The reason the people didn't respond to Jesus' teaching was that they belonged to another. Their family association was wrong. Jesus said, 'You belong to your father, the devil.' And because of this family tie, they were inclined to carry out their father's desire, just as Jesus carried out his father's desire. The devil is a murderer and a liar. He seeks to deprive life and distort truth. The Jews were merely demonstrating the truth of the adage, 'Like father, like son.'" So Jesus points out the real issue. They belong to their father, the devil, and not to God. Listen to what he says again, verse 44. "You're of their father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you will not believe me." Well, the devil is a liar and a murderer. He is one who is not to be followed. He always leads in the wrong direction. He's a great deceiver. To have him as your father is to be both deceived and become a deceiver yourself. Lying is his native language. We can see it in the garden as he deceived Eve. We read there in Genesis 3, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to desire to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." A direct counter to what God had said. a lie that was intended to deceive, and it did. And he's been deceiving the nations ever since, leading them away from the true God to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. Just look around at the deceptions that are everywhere. Look at the things that are now approved and applauded that just a generation or two ago were shameful and forbidden. In this culture, we're now the bad guys because we're not deceived, but rather adhere to the truth, to the faith once delivered to the saints. If someone is a notorious liar or a consummate joker, you would have good reason for not believing them. You know, he might be outright lying, or he might just be tricking you, think it's a fun thing to do. They tell you something and you would have to wonder, is this true? They could brandish all kinds of serious, oh, yeah. But they still, you would pause because you know they lie or they deceive, and it's not wise to accept what they say at face value. So Jesus says in verse 46, "Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Now, Jesus does not sin, therefore, he's not a liar and a deceiver like the evil one. He can be trusted in everything he says. But these folks do not believe. A fair question is, why? This actually declares in a kind of subtle way the doctrines of election and effectual calling. He does not say that they do not believe because they made a choice according to their free will. Well, they did make a choice, but they don't belong to God, therefore they act and choose accordingly. They do not hear the words of truth because they do not belong to God. Those who are elect and effectually called do respond because God makes them alive out of their spiritual death. Jesus must be believed. He must be trusted in. Not just in this dispute here with the Jews in John 8, but in all that he accomplished in his earthly ministry. He came from the Father, being one with him, and bore our sin on the cross, dying there in our place. Verse 42 again, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me." He was sent to bring us to God. To doubt and resist him is to make the gravest error possible. If you are of God, you too will love him. Don't be like this crowd who are resisting and rejecting and turning away from his word. Rather, trust, love, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the truth that he brought to us here in this corrupt world. Thank you for the redemption he accomplished in his own body on the cross. And Lord, we thank you that he is indeed building his church. So we ask, Lord, that you would build our faith in him, that we would trust every word that comes from his mouth. And we pray in his name. Amen.